turn in our Bible to Exodus chapter 14. This is probably a familiar text to some. But no matter how many times we come to a passage, we ask that the Lord would be pleased to speak to us again and reveal Himself. The children of Israel have just been brought out of bondage. And Lord led them this way on purpose. This is not the closest way to Canaan, but it was the best way. They were not soldiers, they were pilgrims. They had been prisoners for years. And the Lord brought them out, and He's going to teach them something. And He teaches us. May God be pleased today to teach us from His Word. In verse 1 of Exodus 14, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Phirath, between Migdol and the sea over against Baal-perazim. Before it shall you camp by the sea. And Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in." That's what he thinks. And that's what it looked like. "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all the host. And the reason I'm going to do this, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. When he decrees something, they're going to do so. "And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and the servants, they were turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? What have we done? And they made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots of all the chariots of Egypt. And the captains were over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army. And they overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Phirath before Baal-perazim. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched." Can you imagine that sight of that whole army coming against them? "They marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? This is what we told. This is the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians, that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people," here be our text, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them no more. Shall see them again no more forever." This will be the last time you see them. Last time. "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel, that they may go forth? Lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And behold," and here's the third time he says it, "I will harden the hearts of Pharaoh of the Egyptians." Not just the Pharaoh, but even the Egyptians. "And they shall follow them." They're doing exactly what they want. "And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know," they'll know that I'm the Lord, "when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the angel of the Lord," the angel of God, Lord Jesus Christ, "he went before the camp of Israel. He went before them. He was leading them, and they followed him. They removed, and he removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went before them, went before their faces and stood behind them. And he came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness. It was darkness to Egypt, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Separated them. They couldn't touch them. Couldn't get to them. They were protected. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. And he made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them. In the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. It came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, and the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, and upon the chariots, upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. And when the morning appeared, so this must have been at night, when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And waters returned and covered the chariots and horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came out of the sea after him. They remained not one, they remained not so much as one of them. And the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant. Amazing what God did, isn't it? They believe now. They were, when they first seen Pharaoh coming, you imagine, God led them to a place basically they're shut in. The Red Sea is in front of them. And here they see Pharaoh coming behind them. And on the other two sides were great high mountains that they couldn't get across. They are hemmed up and they know it. And they are brought to the very place where God's brought them. God's going to teach Israel. And he's going to teach Pharaoh. And he's going to teach everybody. He's brought them here for a reason. They are between a rock and a hard place. And this is one of the hardest things for us to do. Moses told them, and here's the title of the message. He said, "Stand still." They could not go forward. They could not go through the Red Sea. They could not go backward. They are afraid. And you would have been afraid too. Moses said, "Don't be afraid. Stand still. And you shall see the salvation of the Lord." As I said, Israel was led to this place on purpose. I noticed when Kurt prayed, he was talking about things we go through upon this earth. And God leads us into places like this. It seems like we're hemmed in, and it seems like that there is no way out. No way out. What in the world are we going to do? It seems as if the Lord had led Israel into a trap. And that's how Pharaoh perceived it. Oh, they're hemmed in. Oh, they're tied into the wilderness. Oh, I've got them right where I want them. This is going to be a piece of cake. I know where they're at, and I'm going to get it, and all I've got to do is just march in. March in. Take them over. Moses, a picture of the law, must work death in us. We cannot be raised to life by God's grace until we've been slain by God's holy law. You know what that is? We see we cannot keep his law. We see by God, apart from God's grace, there's no way out. But we have to be taught by experience over and over again that salvation is of the Lord. Jonah learned it in the belly of a whale. Israel learned it right here. And the Lord knows how. He teaches us and he keeps teaching us that salvation is of the Lord. He brought Israel to this place and he brought Pharaoh to this place. Israel is at this, it's just utter hopelessness. I don't know what we're going to do. I could see him talking to each other, but we're in a mess now. You know what he's doing? He's trying their faith. If you're a believer, God's given you faith to trust his son. But every day is a walk of faith. Trust him. Trust him. Not what you can see, but trust him. Trust him by faith. We have no defense against our enemies. Here we see this massive, massive army coming to destroy them. All these chariots. And they're afraid. They're terrified. Their eyes was on Pharaoh. Their eyes was on the sea. Their eyes were on the mountain. And they turned their eyes away from Christ. That's why they were afraid. It's just like Peter walking on the water. As long as his eyes was upon the Lord, he was fine. But then when he took his eyes off and began to look at everything else, he began to sink. And I read a good article the other day. There was somebody else walked on that water. Our Lord walked on that water. You know how he did it? By faith. Trusting his Father. He was faithful to his Father and everything. And he walked. This is his battle. You remember that. He's in control of everything. Everything. Not some things. All things. How quick we forget God's previous deliverances. How quick they forgot the Passover night. How quick they have just been delivered out of Egypt. And now they're terrified. And they are afraid. And when we get afraid, we cry out. It said in verse 10, they cried out to the Lord. But what did they cry? This sounds like a lot of us many times. They cried out in complaint and despair. It would have been better off if we'd have just died in Egypt. It would have been better off. Why did he bring us out here to kill us in the wilderness? Why didn't he just take care of us in Egypt? The cries are cries of complaint and despair rather than faith and hope. God, don't you see this? God had promised we need a foundation to rest upon. God had promised that they must worship at Mount Horeb, and they have to do it. So if that's the case, they're not going to die here. But that's the thing. We forget God's word. This is our foundation. We rest upon his promises, and all his promises are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. It's the promises. But someone said, listen, when faith is not exercised, doesn't exercise the promises of God, they bring no comfort, and they give no peace to our heart. Well, they knew the promise, but it didn't do them any good. They're terrified. Terrified. The path of faith is not an easy and smooth one. Like the song says, why do my winters seem so long? Sometimes, you know what, winter's cold. When your heart becomes so cold and indifferent, it seems like your whole life is one long winter after another. There's a reason the path is not easy and smooth. We need to learn the sufficiency of God. We have to learn, and he keeps proving that he's going to take care of your needs. Whatever your need is. We don't even know what we need. The Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings which can't even be uttered. We don't know what we need, but he knows. You know why Israel was here? They needed it. You know why we are where we are? Because we need it. He said he will make a way of escape, that you could be able to bear it. We see Pharaoh's rage. He doesn't like it when he loses his captives. Satan doesn't like it when those who were once under his rule and reign are set free. And he comes after them with all his forces to try to attack them, to irritate them, to just aggravate them. Aggravate them. But you know, here he said God's going to fight for Israel. If God be for us, who can be against us? But what I want to look at there in verse 13, Moses gave them the instructions. He said, fear not, stand still, and see God's salvation, and then go forward. Fear not. God knew they were afraid. It's amazing the first thing he said, you tell them, don't be afraid. They are terrified. They are at their wits' end. They are our brothers and sisters, and they are brought to this point. At times we do become afraid, but God's not given us the spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. Fear hath torment. What are we going to do? I can see sitting down with Sandy, what are we going to do? How are we going to get out of this mess? We've never been like this before. Well, why did we come here? How did we wind up here? Here we are. What are we going to do? Just stand still. Fear not. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with thee. Isaiah 41:14, fear not, thou worm Jacob. And I love this one, Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's his little flock. He redeemed them and brought them out. Did he redeem them to let them perish in the wilderness? Oh, no. He's going to show Pharaoh and everybody they're his. They're his. David said in Psalms 23, I will fear no evil. He also said, what time I am afraid, I will trust the Lord. That's the faith. What time I am afraid, I will trust him. If you were at your wits' end, my advice to you is fear not. And you go, well, that's easily said. I can tell you this, it is. Only grace can enable you not to be afraid. To not be afraid. There's times you know you should be, and I just can't explain it, not to be afraid. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. The righteous are bold as a lion. He said, fear not. Well, then what? What's the next thing he said? Stand still. When great distress, when we are overcome with fear, you're going to try to do something to relieve the fear. You want to do something to relieve the anxiety. You want to do something to relieve it. And he said, stand still. I can't take it anymore. Stand still. When all hope of being saved is taken away, stand still. Listen, Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 13, he's talking about us, the battle we face with ourselves, the world, and the flesh, and the devil. He said, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand, therefore. Having done all to stand, stand, therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Our Lord says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord, O Judah and Jerusalem. Job said, hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. You know why they were so afraid? Because they didn't stand still. Look at it. Just pause for a minute. Just think for a minute. just think, what all has the Lord done for you? Me and Jim was talking, you know, he said this morning, he said, you know, we get to worship the Lord again. Very few people have a place to worship. Well, why did God give us this? See, you think about these things, you dwell upon, he will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. He wants you to think about, Satan wants you to think about everything else and your mind's on him. Stand still. What is it to stand still? I want to know what it is. It does not mean that we cease from prayer and from all other means of grace. In the midst of fears, when the pressure is upon us and we're confused and don't know what to do, we are to cease from all self-confidence and trust Christ. That's what it is. We think we're going to do something. We're going to relieve the pain, the pressure. It is to cease from all self-confidence and trust Christ. You know, that's our biggest problem. We think we can do something. And this is not just some, what people would call positive thinking. Well, if I think upon the positive things, well, then I won't be afraid anymore. No, it's not that simple. It's not that simple. It's not trying to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Standing still, and I want you to get this, it is impossible to the flesh. Only grace can do this. We can't. We do just the opposite. Nature, our old nature, it has to be doing something. To stand still and wait is sheer idleness. I just can't sit here. I just can't sit here. I've got to do something. Just stand still. Stand still. Unbelief magnifies difficulties. Unbelief says we're going to perish. Unbelief says we cannot get out of this. Unbelief says God brought us out here to kill us. That's what unbelief says. Stand still. Stand upright. Stand in Christ. That's our only standing. It's like, can you imagine Martin Luther? That German monk who God opened his eyes and God set him free and God delivered him from that works religion. And when they brought him, they wanted him to recant. They wanted him. He wrote 95 things and put it on the door of what was wrong with the Catholic Church. And they made every one of them mad. And they brought him before those people. And they said, you're going to recant? He said, here I stand. I can do no other. Just stand. I'm not moving. I'm not moving back. I'm not changing it. Stand still. We'll take you. We'll kill you. Well, it don't matter. We're standing here. Standing. Psalms 46:10. Now listen. I think this is a pretty good definition of stand still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. The disciples, they were afraid one day. They were in the ship with our Lord. And he was on that ship. And I can see them running around going, what in the world are we going to do? And here's what happened. He arose and rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. Fear not and be still. And you know what? When he says, when he enables you to stand still, there's a great calm. You can't describe it. You may not can explain it. But it's just like that storm. Pharaoh's not moved. But there's a great calm. And it's a calm in your soul. Now listen, stand still does not mean being passive or resting on fate. Faith says whatever will be, will be. But faith changes everything. And standing still is an act of faith, an act of resting. It is an active resting upon God's promises. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You may think he has, but he's not. When he's with us, he can make a prison a palace. Standing still was like Peter cast into the prison in Paul and Silas, and they singing and praising God. What are they to do? They can't do a lot. They're chained. But they believe in him. Someone said standing still is a determination to cease all questions, all doubts, and all useless striving. You know, we gain nothing by our restless, anxious efforts. All we do is make a bunch of dust. Anxious. Don't be afraid about anything. Don't be anxious. You can't make one hair white or black. You can't add one cubit to your stature. He said, if you have food and raiment, be content. Consider the lilies of the field. Stand still and consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Consider the fowls of the air. Who feeds them? He said, I do. You're much more value than they are. What could Israel do? They can't dry up the Red Sea. They can't level the mountains. They couldn't destroy the army of Egypt. In times of difficulty and seasons of distress, when sin rages, our conscience accuses us, and the law condemns us, and unbelief prevails, and we see justice pursuing, and all hope of being saved is gone. And you know then what we see? That salvation's of the Lord. Salvation's of the Lord. Stand still, stop looking to everything else, and you look to Christ. Don't look to the Red Sea, Pharaoh's army, or anything else. You look to him. You know, the first thing we look to, we look in here, and there's nothing in there. There's nothing but darkness. You know where they were? They were even looking back to Egypt. Why in the world would they look back there? Stand still and see. Sometimes we don't stand still long enough to see. See what? He's going to show you something. You're going to see. You'll see. In a minute, you'll see. He must bring us to the end of ourself. He has shut us up to Christ. That's where he shut us up. And that's where he keeps bringing us. If he does not shut us up to Christ, we will never stand still. I made me a note, we'll never stand for it. We won't stand for it. We'll do our own thing. We'll be busy. No, I'm going to do this. No, fear not, stand still. And you're going to see something. God's getting ready to do something amazing. Amazing. He's getting ready to do a wondrous miracle for Israel. And they're going to see it. You stand still. This is it. He's going to do something. Stand still and you'll see it. You'll see it. Till you stand still, you will never see. This is a command. This is not seeing with natural eyes. That's what man wants to see. I need to see something. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is to see by faith. This happened at night. The angel of the Lord is behind them. And this wind blows all night long because the Lord looked in through the morning watch between 3 and 6 a.m. And he saw this. I can't see it. I can't see it with my eyes. But we see it by faith. You imagine walking into that Red Sea and you can't see? How are we going to make it through? Some, you know, we think, my mind is, that when God opened it, he opened it all the way through. We don't know how far it was where they walked. But some say it's like every step. God opened it up. It ain't blind faith because we're acting upon God's word, because in a minute he says, now you go. Now go. It is seeing God's salvation by faith. And when you see God's salvation, when you see Christ, none of the other things, it just vanishes away. Do you know, here's how it describes it in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. How did they go through? By faith. And you know how you go through? By faith. Faith is seeing with spiritual sight. Faith is not looking at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. In Hebrews 11:13, here is how it describes every believer. Now listen to me, this is every believer. They all died in faith, not having received the promises. They hadn't received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims of the earth. They embraced them? Yes. How do you embrace it? By faith. How did you receive the promise? By faith. How do you rest upon the promise? By faith. By faith. Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. Well, they didn't see Christ. Christ is the salvation. But they did see him. He said, you stand still and you're going to see God's salvation. To see, all fleshy activity must cease. As long as a person is trying to work for their salvation, they will never see God's salvation. They can't get still long enough. Come, let us reason together. Just sit down and think. Now think. I want to see him. That's the lesson I want to learn. I want to see him as he reveals his glory, his majesty. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. It's amazing that Kurt read that scripture. He said, those that make those gods are just like them, because they make a god just like themselves. They have mouths and they can't speak. They have ears, they can't hear. They have eyes, they can't see. They have feet and they can't walk. That's their gods. God said, I'm not like that. Look unto me. What is it to look? Look. Look and live. Look. I can't command. I just say, look. Now look, what does it mean to look? Well, you look. It's by faith. You look. The old lay person that day was, Spurgeon was going past it onto a way to church, and it was snowing so bad, and he seen a little light on in a little building, and he goes in, and the preacher couldn't even get to the church because of the weather, and a layman standing up there, and he just quoted Isaiah 45:22, and he said, Mister, he said, you look awful sad. Look awful sad. He said, my advice to you is just look and live. And he said at that moment, God enabled him to look. And he lived. And he saw God's salvation. That's what salvation is. Look and live. He wasn't looking at the building. He wasn't looking at some man. He was just a layman. It didn't matter. It's not the instrument. It's seeing the person. I'm God. There's none else. Until we are standing by faith, you will never walk by faith. They stood before they walked. They stood before they went forward. They stood. And even standing is an act of faith. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Till what? Till he tells you to do something else. Stand. Well, I don't want to stand. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So he said, fear not. Stand still and see. Now he said, you go forward. How can we? How can we go through that sea? The wind blowed all night and, you know, they can't see and they go marching and walking on dry ground. Stand still, see, and now go forward. We are not ready to go forward until we first stood still and see the salvation of the Lord. Before the command was given to go forward, there was the promise. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will show unto you. There was the promise. Faith must rest upon God's promise. And obedience to the command must spring from faith in God's promise. You know why we come here? Most of it's not because we feel like it in our bodies. Most of the time we're maybe tired and different things. And everything would try to hinder. We come because he said, he promised where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in the midst. That's his promise. And that's why we come. We come waiting, standing still, waiting upon him. Lord, show us your salvation. Everything else wants to hinder you. Everything else wants to distract you. And you stand still. You see his salvation. Before we're ready to go forward, faith must see that which is invisible. Namely, the salvation of the Lord. Each step was a step of faith. Jeff, will we make it through? God said we would. We want to see the whole thing. We want to see the whole picture. You imagine Abraham. God called Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to come out and I'm going to take you to a land that I will show you. Because he said, Hebrews 11 verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should after receive for inheritance, he obeyed and went out, not knowing where he was going. I can see him going there and say, Sarah, God told me to go to Canaan. Well, where are we going? I'm not really sure. How are we going to get there? I'm not really sure. And Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You know how you live? Every day, by faith. Go forward with the Egyptians pursuing you. If apart from grace, you know what I'd said? You need to get out of my way. I'm coming through. I don't want them to get me. That's what we would have done. And I can see them. Here's faith. It's not in a hurry. The wicked flee when no man pursues, and the righteous are bold as a lion. Lord told us to go through here, and we don't have to fear a thing. You imagine what God just did to save them. You imagine God holding this water back just for them. Just for them. He brings them through. It came to pass in the morning watch. Here comes the Egyptians. We're going to get them. That in the morning watch, the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire and of the cloud, and he troubled the host of the Egyptians. What do we learn from that? He brings Israel through, not Egypt. Not Pharaoh. Those who attempt to do without faith, what believers succeed to do by faith will utterly fall. They presumed. Believers obtain peace with God by faith, while by all the efforts of the unbeliever to obtain peace by their good works, it's doomed to fail. They drowned. What was salvation to one was damnation to the other. Why were they saved? They walked by faith. They believed him. Through faith they came through. Crossing the Red Sea speaks of Christ making a way through death for his people. Death couldn't touch them. They never got one drop of water on them. You go, how in the world did God... You imagine if you just split a lake open or a Red Sea, that ground would have been pure mud. But not now. It's just dry. Not one drop of water touched them. Not one drop of God's wrath touched them. They were preserved. They were kept. The Red Sea is a figure of death, the boundary line of Satan's power. He can't touch them. In Exodus verse 16, chapter 14, verse 16, but lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go through on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Moses, a type of Christ, the rod, a symbol of his power and authority. The Red Sea completely destroyed the power of Pharaoh. And they're all gone. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is Satan. And he delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. They don't have to fear death. They're walking right through the middle of it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That which symboled death had no power over Israel. And that which once was they feared is a defense to them. The very sea which at first they so much feared became the very means of their deliverance. It delivered them from Egypt, and instead of proving their enemies, it proved to be, instead of being their friend, their enemy, the sea is their friend. Instead of death being your enemy, it's your friend. You know what's going to deliver you into glory? Death. It's not your enemy. We do fear him. All of our lifetime we were subject to bondage. It's your friend. It's your friend. For a lost man to try to face death in his own power and confidence, it is certain destruction. And how are we delivered from death? Because of our union with Christ. If we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. We went in, we went through it, and we came out. Why? We walk by faith. Stand still and you'll see his salvation. Now go forward. And when you see, you know what you do? You'll go. You're not standing there complaining. Well, let's go. We're going. The God who delivered Israel, now you listen to me, is our God. The same God who did that for Israel does that for us. We may be hemmed in on every side and don't know what to do, but he said, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. You want a promise to cling to? When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you go through the rivers, they shall not overthrow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, you won't be burned. neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. God can protect, and He does protect His people in the midst of great problems, great dangers, and He makes a way of escape. There's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. But here's the catch. He will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you can bear. You know what the way of escape is? That's Him. That you're able to bear it. By nature, you couldn't bear it. We read the book of Job and you go, how in the world did he bear that? It's grace. He teaches us. And he keeps teaching us. Salvation to the Lord. Don't be afraid. Fear not, little flock. I hope it's been a help.